It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Right here on Giants.com, the players are back in the building on Monday. It's been a long time coming. The veterans will be back for the start of the off-season weight and conditioning program. It's going to be a very, very fun day here at the Timex Performance Center. Make sure you go to Giants.com for all the coverage of that coming your way on Monday. But the Giants were busy this week. A couple of moves. They announced the Keith Rivers trade yesterday, sending a fifth-round pick to the Cincinnati Bengals for the former eighth overall pick in the 2008 NFL draft, or ninth overall pick out of USC. Missed all of last year with a wrist injury. Weak side linebacker. People, you know, think he has a lot of talent. He'll compete with Jaquan Williams and Michael Boley, and we'll see how those three guys really end up getting used next year. Who knows? Maybe they'll be able to figure out a way to use all three at the same time. Maybe try Jaquan at the Sam. Who knows? We'll see. Move Michael Boley inside. That'll be something we keep an eye on heading into next year. And, of course, the other one's Shane Locklear, now with the New York Giants as a swing tackle. Could play right, can play left. He says he's more comfortable at right. So we'll see what the Giants do with him. 201-939-4513. Kenny Palmer from the Giants Insider will be joining us later on in the show. But first, let's start off on our phone lines with our good friend Victor in Texas. Victor?
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
Oh, man. You know, I didn't know you guys came back on. I was like, you know, I had some people telling me, why aren't you on the radio? So, oh, man, I was just jonesing for you guys to come back.
We only started about a week and a half ago, Victor. You didn't miss much, but it's good to have you back on board, buddy.
Hey, definitely. Hey, you know what? Just a couple of things. You know, I'm excited about this offseason right now because, you know, Jay Reese, you know, he's doing things totally different, but, you know, not out of the parameters of what the Giants like to do. I mean, he's acquiring players that, you know, that are going to fill some type of void with us, whether it be, you know, a starter or someone backing someone up. I mean, the Keith Rivers trade is just one of those things, and Sean Locklear as well. I mean, because you get Keith Rivers. I mean, he's a speed guy. You know, he's a young guy. He had a couple of injuries. Looking at his injury status, it's not that severe. It's not like an ACL.
Right.
I mean, so this is the type of guy that can come in and actually, you know, work for us. I mean, if he makes the team, because, like, you know, playing with the Giants, he's just not going to give you a job. You got to win it. And if he can come in and actually earn that spot, I mean, that's tremendous for us. That kind of solidifies that linebackers, you know, that those speed guys that we need. And move Boley to the middle linebacker.
Hey, look, Victor, to me, the Keith Rivers trade is your classic low-risk, high-reward type of move. It's a fifth-round pick. The Giants already awarded a fourth-round pick as a compensatory pick, so you really still have all your draft picks coming up in this year's draft, and the upside to it is so big, I'll take the chance of losing the fifth rounder. I think it's a no-brainer move.
Yeah, that's what I was did it. I mean, you don't lose much. You still got all your draft picks, basically. You lose a fifth rounder.
Right.
Now, if that fifth rounder that they have turns out to be a star, a gem, you know, you just take those losses. But also, look at this signing of the left tackle. This is a versatile guy. I mean, he went to the Super Bowl with, what is it, 08 or 05, I believe, with the Seattle Seahawks. And this guy, you know, he started. He played with the Washington Redskins. So, I mean, this is a guy that can come in. Let's say Petey doesn't come back or he beats out Petey, or Petey just isn't that type of guy. Or let's just say that, you know what, David Deal isn't that great. You know, he can actually play both sides. He said he likes to play right tackle, though, but he can play left. I mean, for me, I mean, looking at James Brewer, we got him coming up too, and I've been hearing some praise about this guy. And we just got a lot of good people that were actually, you know, coaching, teaching these guys in our system. And that's what I'm finding out about, you know, Jerry Reese right now and the Giants. These guys like to coach up their players. And, you know, I was frustrated at first that we're not going out getting these guys back in the days. But I like the fact that we get guys in and we coach them up. And then we get players in and we just coach them up, too. We don't make splurges in the off season, but we make smart decisions to get our team better. And, I mean, with the 32nd pick in the draft, the Giants can go anywhere. I mean, they can go defensive line again. They can go get a fine at Jason Pierre-Paul when he's not in here this draft. But they can go find that defensive tackle guy, you know, that guy that's going to be over the center. I mean, this is great stuff right here. I'm looking at, you know, maybe OC, the OC deal done. Hurts making some waves about some stuff, you know, money issues. Who knows what's going to happen with that. You know, Richard Cruz deal, and now you got the Brandon Jacobs stuff. I mean, you know, I just hope that we just make sure all that little issues like that, and we don't let that thing derail us from going back and, you know, probably winning back-to-back.
Now, Victor, you're 100% right, and your phone line's kind of crapping out us a little bit, Victor. So No, that's right. No worries. So we're going to let you go. Thanks very much for the call. And you're right. And the thing I like about the offensive line, and Victor, we look forward to hearing from you, of course, as the show moves along in the offseason. Good to hear from you again. The offensive line is very versatile and flexible now. They have guys that can play, you know, right tackle, left tackle, and Deal and Locklear. Kevin Booth can move all around the interior of that line. David Deal can play guard too. So there's a lot of guys here that are very versatile and provide a lot of versatility to the Giants that give them a lot of flexibility if any injuries come down the road. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, good morning.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Mike?
I was wondering if you guys can tell me a little bit about this Keith Rivers guy we just got. I have no idea who he is or is he any good?
Hey, Gil, Keith Rivers was the 9th overall pick in the draft in 2008. He had a very, very high ceiling. He got Defensive Rookie of the Year award votes in that rookie year. He's a weak side linebacker, so he theoretically plays the same position as both Michael Boley and Jaquan Williams. Now, he's had a lot of injury issues in his career so far. He didn't play all of last season because of a bad wrist. He almost came back midseason, but they decided not to activate him off the PUP list. He had a shoulder injury earlier in his career where he missed a bunch of games. So there's an injury risk with Keith Rivers, but he was a first-round pick. He's very talented. He's very fast. So it's one of those deals where you roll the dice, you trade a fifth-round pick, you get a guy with a lot of potential, and you hope that he can, you know, maybe win the weak side linebacker spot. Then you can move Michael Boley, your current best linebacker, to the middle. You use Jaquan Williams and nickel. It's just another guy in that linebacker mix that gives the Giants more options.
Do you think they have any intentions at signing Chase Blackburn back now, or do you think he's pretty much gone?
You know what? That's a good question. I think they'll probably wait on it. They'll see where they go in the draft. If they decide to bring in somebody else to play middle linebacker, which there still is a hole at because Michael Boley has not proven he can play middle linebacker in a 4-3 base defense, so they might end up now trying him there this coming year. Remember, the Giants do have two middle linebackers that are very young that they'll want to give a long look at during the offseason, both Mark Herzlich and Greg Jones. So you're going to want to see those two guys get a lot of playing time. The Giants know what Chase Blackburn can do. They know what his value is. So they can wait on him, even getting up right at the training camp. They know he's going to stay in shape. That's the type of guy and the type of player that he is. So I think the Giants will wait on Chase and see how the draft and the rest of free agency plays out first.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate the call, Mike. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Now we welcome in today's guest, and that's Ken Palmer from Giants Insider. Ken, good morning, bud. How are you?
All right, real good, John. Good to be on with you, buddy.
All right, the Giants have been busy. I thought they'd be quiet up until the draft once they made their early moves, but let's start with the Keith Rivers trade first. That news broke yesterday. Your thoughts on the Giants' move to bring in the former first-round pick?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's just another Jerry, you know, smart Jerry Reese move because it's so low risk. You're giving up a fifth-round pick, which is obviously a very unproven commodity, for a guy that was a top-10 overall pick. And, yeah, he's obviously had the injury situation, or you wouldn't have gotten him like that. But Rivers, if it works out for him, is hardly going to be the first guy that, you know, suffered through some injury things and then kind of had a change of scenery and had things work out for him. So I I just love it because of his ability, his potential, change of scenery type thing. And like you were, I was listening to you before. I mean, they're now in a great spot where they have multiple guys. You don't know if the Bowley will be the middle guy or Rivers will be the middle guy, or they can flip flop with them. They just have so much versatility now at that linebacker spot. And you know, for years we've been crying they needed linebackers, and you know, it seems like they have a really, really good group right now, and with adding Rivers to it, really just only strengthens it tremendously.
Now, last year they brought in three young linebackers, Herzlick, Jones, and, of course, Spencer Paysinger. Do you think the Giants now look back to the draft for another linebacker this year, or do you think they go to camp with the group they have now?
You know what? I'm sure, I mean, as you all know, if they see someone they like, they're going to grab them.
Right.
But I think going into the draft, they're not going to put it as high of a need, you know, so to speak. And it's funny because, you know, they don't talk like we talk as
no.
far as needs. They're just looking for the best player. So if there's a guy there in round two that they like, they're going to take him, be it a linebacker or not. So you know, conventional wisdom says they have enough and they don't really need to add anybody else, and they'll be fine with the group they have coming to camp. But you can't rule them out taking a guy. I mean, if they have a guy with a great score, a great rating on their board, and he's up there, they're going to go ahead and take him because, as Jerry will say all the time, competition, you know, you can't have too many of anything, really. Everyone always says you can't have too many pass rushers, or, you know, you can't have too many of anything in the game of football, especially with injuries and whatnot. So I would not be surprised at all if they end up taking a linebacker. That being said, if they don't, I think they are in pretty good shape going into Albany this summer.
Now, how important is it really at this point, the way the NFL operates with so many 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, the spread offense, all those things, is it really that important to have a traditional 4-3 base middle linebacker these days? Basically, Michael Bowley played that Mike position in the nickel last year, which the Giants are in 75-80% of the time anyway.
Well, that's it. And all you had to do, John, is look back to week 3 last year, that Eagles game. They played the whole game with 2 linebackers, and one of them was a rookie, Jaquan Williams, and they were just fine. So you don't really need that, so to speak. You don't need that Urlacher mold
right.
middle linebacker. You need more of a versatile guy, and that's why Rivers, I think, is perfect, because if he ends up being in the middle, or if it's Bowley, or if they alternate, or if they play the two of them, you know, in a kind of a sub role together, you're good. They can play different spots. They can do different things. And you're right. I mean, there is so much West Coast spread offense that, you know, just that big guy in the middle to make your tackles and to stop the run and whatnot. A lot of defenses don't have that, and a lot of defenses don't need that. And you saw last year, you know, the Giants got by without it last year, and now, you know, now they just have more athleticism at that spot. So I really think, you know, to answer your question, no, it's not that important to have that, you know, quote-unquote middle linebacker anymore. You just need guys that can play. You need football players more than, you know, inside linebackers and outside linebackers.
Do you think Chase Blackburn's career as a Giant is now over, or do you think he's still a chance of him coming back as we get closer to training camp?
Yeah, you know what, John? As each day passes, you figure there's more and more of a chance of him coming back. And, I mean, personally, you know, in the media, you're not supposed to root for guys and you're not supposed to like guys, but forget it with Chase, man. I love him. He's a great, great player, great guy, and I sure personally hope he comes back. You know, and you didn't know. He had the huge Super Bowl, you know, the huge play in the Super Bowl. You figured maybe someone would try and throw a little money at him, but it hasn't happened. You have to figure, if he's still out there come training camp time, the Giants may go ahead and bring him back. I mean, they, you know, they're not going to make sentimental moves because it's a business, but they also realize the intangibles he brings and his popularity with the fan base. So, you know, you're not going to go break the bank for him, obviously, because they haven't yet, nor has anybody else. But if he's still out there and you could bring him to camp, I would think they would, and I sure hope they would.
Now, I want to also mention the other move the Giants made this week. That, of course, is bringing in Shane Locklear. And I love the move only because it's a guy that can play both right tackle and left tackle. He starred in this league for a long time. He started in the NFC East last year in Washington. They had all those injuries on the offensive line. And to me, he just provides you even more flexibility where he can be the backup swing guy. You can have deal play right tackle. He can be the backup. or you can move Deal back inside, and then you keep Kevin Booth in that center guard backup role. I just think it's a great veteran pickup that gives the Giants a lot of options.
It definitely does, John, because like you said, I mean, he could start either side if you need him. He could back up either side. I mean, in an ideal world, the Giants are going to have Beattie and Brewer as their starting tackles. I mean, that's why they drafted those kids, to be your starting tackles. Are they going to be ready to do that come opening day? Probably not. So that's where a guy like Locklear fits in perfect, because he can kind of hold down the fort until they're ready. You know, listen, Beattie, they are very high on Beattie, and you know, understandably so, but he didn't exactly prove he's a big-time left tackle last year, and part of it was because he did get injured, and he didn't get the chance to play the full season. So the jury's still out on him, and Brewer, you know, just looking at him, he looks like he's going to be good. Some guys just have that look, and he looks like he's going to be a good tackle in this league for years to come, but you don't know that either. So bringing in Locklear, you have a double insurance policy, because if either of those two young guys struggles or isn't ready, or, you know, you need someone to keep the seat warm for them until they're ready to go, especially Brewer on that right side, you just slide Locklear right in there. And, you know, he's been through the wars. He's been there and done that. He knows the NFL. And like you said last year, that helps a lot having played in the division last year, because he played against the Eagles. He played against the Cowboys. So he has some recent experience against, you know, the guys they're really going to need to focus on going into this season.
All right, let's look ahead a little bit next week, Ken. We're going to have the schedule released. The Giants, we already know they're obviously opening the season against Dallas. Where do you think their other primetime games are going to land? You really have so many options, considering who the Giants are going to be playing next year. Saints, Packers, San Francisco 49ers, obviously both Eagles games, the Steelers, the Ravens. How do you think this thing's going to play out when the schedule gets released?
Yeah, you figure the Super Bowl champs always gets a bunch of prime time the next year, and the fact that it's the Giants just makes it even more more appealing for the league to do. And the one good thing that came out of I think the league botched opening night. Giants Cowboys is not that. You know, Giants Packers, Giants Saints, and then even Giants Steelers, all of those would have been much juicier opening nights, but the league decided to do what they did. And as a result, you have those three home games left for, you know, the rest of the season, right, to kind of juice up the rest of the season. So I think you're going to see a bunch of Sunday nights and a bunch of Monday nights. I just think that the ratings are too good with the Giants. They're the champs, and these are some serious matchups. I mean, you're not going to have Packers at Giants at a 1 o'clock on a Sunday. You know, you need some Sunday nights and Monday nights there. And like you mentioned, road-wise, that San Fran game, I mean, it's a rematch of the NFC Championship game. So that's a real juicy one as well. So I know Giants fans are real anxious for the schedule to come out, and I'm sure I understand why, and I realize a lot of companies are going to be having a lot of people calling out sick on Mondays and Tuesdays during the football season, that's for sure.
I have a gut feeling that we're going to see Giants-Eagles final game of the regular season. You know how they like to put those NFC East games in that final week? We've seen the Redskins, we've seen the Cowboys. I think it's time for it to be Giants-Eagles this year. What do you think?
Yeah, John, that makes a lot of sense. And you know the second Cowboys game is going to be very late also.
Yep.
I doubt they would finish the year with Dallas 2 years in a row. And like you said, the Eagles, that's a much more appealing matchup. But you have to figure those, you know, December is going to come down to Dallas is going to be one of those last couple games. And you're right, the Eagles would be a really, really juicy season finale for everyone to look forward to.
All right, how about the draft? Obviously, we already talked about it a little bit. The Giants always pick the best available player, regardless of position. But how much do you think the team worries about looking ahead, where they see the free agency class that they're going to have next year, where Mathias Kiwanuka's up, Victor Cruz is going to be due a new contract? How much do you think this team looks ahead in terms of their future depth chart when going through the middle to late rounds in the draft?
Yeah, tremendously. I mean, a heck of a lot more than most writers do. I know that from personal experience. They're always thinking forward. They're always looking forward, and you know you can't cover yourself too much. And if you're even remotely concerned about the ability to retain a guy, you're going to take a step to back that guy up and make sure you have someone in place should you lose him. And then there's always the injury thing. You obviously can't predict that, but you may have the ideal guy at a certain spot, you know, and if he goes down all of a sudden, you need someone that can fill in there and not just get the job done, but ideally get the job done at a pretty high level. So I think that's a big factor. And I think also that's why they subscribe so closely to that best available player. Because if you start saying, well, we need one more corner and we need one more tight end, all of a sudden, you know, that safety that you could have drafted, that you had higher on your board, someone gets injured and you're thinking, well, we should have taken a safety. So it's so hard to predict. Obviously, you cannot predict injuries. And even with free agency and things on the horizon, it just lends itself to let's just take the 7-8 best players we can take and let them figure it out and let them, the pieces fall where they're going to. And, you know, if you can play football, they're going to find a way to play them. And that's why that theory has worked so well for them in the past. And obviously, they're going to continue doing that.
We're joined by Ken Palmer from Giants Insiders for just a couple more minutes. Ken, how much do you think the Giants are going to get out of their 2011 draft class this upcoming season? Obviously, the first four rounds of the draft were really a bit of a wash. You got nothing out of Prince Amukamara, close to nothing. Marvin Austin obviously hurt himself early in the year. Drell Jernigan made spot playing time in terms of return game. That's it. And then, of course, you mentioned the big tackle that they have high hopes for. Do you think any of those four guys are going to step up and be big contributors in 2012? Obviously, Prince is the easy one. How about one of the other three?
Yeah, I loved the Austin pick from the start. And, you know, granted, 2 full years without playing a football game, you know, you can't ask for too much out of him. But there's a reason that, you know, that kid was as highly ranked as he was. And if he can return fully healthy, and, you know, it's going to take a little time to get the rust off, but that's what summer camp's for, and that's what the preseason's for. I mean, they could have a real stud there in the middle. Not that they don't already have a bunch of them, but one more guy in the middle there that could be a disruptive force in that defensive line rotation could just be enormous. Jernigan has the ability. We know that. It's just going to take him time to learn where he needs to go and what to do and just to gain some confidence, which I think we saw down the stretch last year, which was nice to see. Brewer, the jury is totally out because he didn't get a chance to do anything, understandably, but there's a reason they didn't re-sign Kareem McKenzie, and it's because they think James Brewer can play that right tackle spot. So that'll be, to me, that'll be the most interesting is Brewer and his progression and if he's actually able to, you know, crack that starting lineup at right tackle.
All right, final question, Ken. As we look forward here, have you heard anything about OC? This is usually about the time of year where, you know, there's some rumblings or he says something or he doesn't show up to the workout program on Monday. He's really been quiet, though, so I think everyone, as far as the Giants are concerned, expect him to be here on Monday. Have you heard anything? What's your feeling on how that's going to play out?
Yeah, I haven't. It's been surprisingly quiet on the OC front, and that's been refreshing. I'm sure the Giants appreciate that, no doubt. But I've had a gut all along, going back 2 years. He's not going anywhere. OC's a Giant. OC likes New York. The Giants want him. The defense is totally different when he's a part of it. Everyone can see that. And listen, you know, can he force his way and get more money elsewhere? Of course he can. Any prime time player can do that. But I don't think he wants to. I think he wants to stay here. He's got two rings already. He's been, you know, a key part of that defense. And I just don't see the parting happening. I know the rumor mill goes up and down and the roller coaster goes up and down as far as is he staying, is he going, should he stay, should he go. To me, he's not going anywhere. I never thought he was, and I'd be very surprised if anything comes to a head that has him anywhere but in a Giants uniform come opening night.
Ken, we appreciate the time this morning. Thank you very much.
You bet, John. Stay well, man. I'll see you soon, buddy.
Appreciate it. That's Ken Palmer from Giants Insider. We thank him for joining us, giving us his insight on the New York Football Giants, 201-939-4513. Well, apparently he's received his personalized invitation to the show from Lance Meadow, and we'll wrap up the week with Zeke down in Virginia.
Hey, what's up, Smart? How you doing today?
Zeke, what's up, pal? Good to hear from you, man.
I just heard the last of that guy that was just on for me.
Yeah.
What he was saying about OC. I just want to comment on that real quick.
Sure.
OC has two rings. He doesn't need another ring. What he wants is more money. I mean, once you got the ring, you got pretty much the stats. What you're going for as a professional athlete now is just more money before you retire. OC knows that. OC is going to try to get as much money as he possibly can, trying to stay with the Giants. If not, go somewhere else and get as much money as he can before he retires. I mean, he already has two rings. What else can he possibly want? Some more rings? I mean, he's not really going to the Hall of Fame. His legacy is already pretty much cemented in stone with the Giants. He's just going to want more money. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He already has the rings. What else he can get? More money. That's all he can get.
Hey, now, Zeke, we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, he has 1 year left on his contract. He's under the Giants' control. So as far as the Giants are concerned, he's going to play for them this year. Whether or not they can work out an extension beyond this season, who knows. But considering OC's injury issues the last few years, you got to wonder how much some teams are going to be willing to go out there and give him a lot of money. He's had some chronic issues, you know?
Well, free agency just is based on overpaying for,
you know,
pretty decent players.
Right.
So, I mean, I think he's going to get a raise, just a little bit of raise, not too much, but he's going to get a little more money. But, Schmel, I know I tweeted this to you before how Eli wasn't on the top 100 last year on NFL Network, and they're doing it again this year. And, Schmel, if he is not on the top 100, let alone the top 25, I am throwing my TV out the window. I'm not having this no more. Eli should have been on the top 25 and top 100 last year. Romo was up there. McNabb was number 99. Schmel, I lost my mind when I seen it.
I know you did. And look, I can't guarantee a top 25. I can't guarantee you that. I will guarantee a top 50. I think you have a good chance at top 25. That's how I'll look at it.
Joe Flacco was up there. I forgot what number he was. He was like number 90, whatever.
And Eli should have been ahead of all
up there. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was going to say, Eli should have been ahead of all those guys. You're 100% right.
And I think the people from NFL Network just look at his stats. He had 25 interceptions last year. Half of those were not his fault. He threw for 4,000 yards. I think he threw for, 30 touchdowns last year? I mean, the guy has been solid. Going from when Plexico shot himself, this year he definitely stepped up his game. But last year he also stepped up his game. He did make some bullheaded decisions, but a lot of those interceptions were not his fault. I think they were just looking at his stats and not really looking at the whole work he put in last year. And he definitely needs to be top 50. I agree with you on that one. Top 25, I don't know if they're going to give it to him. There's still a lot of Eli haters. But, you know, top 50 is a must. I think JPP got to be up there, at least top 100 as well.
Oh, I agree. And, Zeke, remember this, though. This is not an NFL Network list. The NFL Network generates this list based on votes by the players.
The players,
so
yeah.
So it's not the NFL Network putting this together. It's just, it's the other NFL players. And I think everyone to a man saw the improvement and saw the steps that Eli Manning took this year as a quarterback. He'll be on the list. He'll be top 50. We'll see exactly how high he gets. You know how these votes go, whether it's all-star games, Pro Bowls, whatever. This is a huge reputation contest, and you're not going to see Eli's reputation be any better coming off his second Super Bowl championship. So I think you got a decent chance of him being top 25, guaranteed top 50.
Yeah, I mean, that is it's crazy to me how, you know, McNabb and Romo was all up there and Eli wasn't, but that's about it, Schmel. I'll call back on the show next week, you know, talk about some more Giants stuff later.
Sounds good, Zeke. Appreciate it, man. That's Zeke. He's one of our great callers. Good to have him and Victor back on the same show. A big Friday. I like it. Good job by the callers. We thank Ken Palmer from Giants Insider for joining us as well on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And, of course, it comes your way every single day, Monday through Friday from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Big day on Monday here at the Timex Performance Center. The veteran players are back. Their strength and conditioning program begins. We're going to hope to try to sprinkle some players into the show starting next week once they're back in the building. We'll work with our good friends DeAndre Phillips and Peter John Baptiste in PR to try to get that done. And we'll try to give you a heads up when we know these guys are coming on, so you'll be sure to tune in. We could take your calls. We could take your Twitter questions. Give the fans a chance to interact directly with their favorite players right here on Giants.com. And, of course, we'll look ahead to the draft. That will begin on Monday. We'll take a look at some of the potential draft prospects that are coming out this year, whether or not the Giants are interested or not. We don't know, but we're going to give you the top five guys at each position. That starts on Monday. And, of course, Eisen's mailbag, off-season report will come your way later on today. Michael Eisen and I will break down the Giants' move this week and look ahead next week to the schedule being released. So a lot of stuff going on Giants.com. Your only 24/7, 365-day-a-year source for New York Giants news, information, and opinion. Thanks for joining us, everybody. My name is John Schmelk. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your weekend. Big Blue, kickoff live, 10 a.m. Monday morning. You be there.